In this week's Arts, my guest is Canadian opera singer Melanie Gall, a soprano who has performed around the world, including in Israel, Italy, France, and the Czech Republic. This week, she dropped my Radio Prague studio to discuss upcoming performances at this year's American Spring Festival. She's a charming guest with a great sense of humor, and Melanie talks not only about what she'll be performing while in Prague, but also about opera in general. Melanie Gall.
Well, I began training when I was 6 years old. Basically, there's this little competition every year with the schools, and I kept winning it. So I won it at 6, I won it at 7, I won it at 8. Then all the kids were supposed to draw pictures of what they wanted to do when they grew up, and I thought, wait a minute, you get presents and flowers if you become a singer. So that's when I started. You don't really start vocal training until your voice changes or starts to change. So I took acting classes and dancing classes, which didn't take. Then I started lessons when I was 15, 16.
Would you say, though, that generally, even though there's the voice change, that the age 6 or 7, basically a young age, is a good one to start or to begin singing, to realize that this is something you could do later on?
Definitely. And more than singing, you can start learning piano then. You can start learning your music theory, because people don't realize it's not like American Idol or Czech Idol, if there is such a thing. Once you get to university, if you're taking music, you're expected to know how to play piano, to know how to do music theory, which is a lot like math, and it's so much easier at 6 than if you learn at 16.
It must take an incredible amount of dedication, though, and hard work. Did it impact your childhood in that sense? Did you have a childhood?
Oh, no. When you're a singer, you don't actually sing all that much. It's not like when you're a violinist and you practice 6 hours a day. Pretty much you just go around singing, and you get, as I said, flowers and presents. So it's pretty sweet.
As a teen, did you have any sort of favorite things that you liked performing?
At that point, Phantom of the Opera had just come out, so we all wanted to be in Phantom. We were all emo, and we thought, oh, if only someone would kidnap me and take me to the opera. Yeah, so that's pretty much all of us taking singing lessons had the same goal at that point, but it changed.
As a soprano, do you specialize more in dramatic roles, or do you focus more on recitals?
It's interesting. I've sung quite a few lyric roles. So that's La Fée, so the fairy, in Massenet's Cendrillon, in the Cinderella story. I've done Queen of the Night before. I sang that in Israel, which is a more dramatic role, but you can sing it if you have a lighter voice. What else? I've sung several lyric roles, but lately I've done a lot of shows that aren't opera, that are quasi-classical. So it's not classical music exactly. And it's, as a result, it's more dramatic and less lyrical, because if it's, say, Edith Piaf music, she smoked and she drank and she had quite the life, so you need to growl a lot, which is not exactly what you're taught to sing, but it's fun.
And how exactly do you prepare for that, then? Do you have to go
out
and have a
drink? You don't smoke. You don't drink. Yeah, it's just a different way of singing, and it's interesting. There, good vocal technique, there is only really one way to sing well. You can take those skills and use them other ways. But there is only really proper support is proper support. Proper vocal production is proper vocal production. But taking that, you can use that as a basis and play around with it and do things your teachers would be shocked at, but in a healthy way. So make it sound as if it's unhealthy, even though it isn't.
Regarding your dramatic roles, I just recently saw a performance of The Magic Flute in Prague, so it's fresh in my memory. Did you enjoy the role of Queen of the Night?
Well, there's not much to the role. If you know The Magic Flute, you come on stage 3 times. You come on once, sing your first aria, come on a second time, sing the aria everybody knows, and then come on at the end and look defeated. That's pretty much it. Aside from basically pointing and looking angry, there's not all that much to do in that role. It's more about vocal fireworks. The costume I was given was too small, so I was more concerned with the fact that I really shouldn't have been in public in that dress. That was my big concern with that. And it kept ripping. The slit just kept getting higher and higher. It was sequin. If I did it again, hopefully I could concentrate more on the acting and the singing and less on the fact that my mom wouldn't have approved about how much people were seeing.
It's an interesting point that's often forgotten, though, when you're involved in any kind of performance or artwork. There's always tons of behind-the-scenes things that generally the audience doesn't realize that you have to grapple with to put out your best. It's not just coming on and doing the job and going home.
Exactly.
How did you get involved in the American Spring?
I sang quite a few concerts over the years with the Canadian government, with the different embassies in different countries, and I knew one of the ambassadors who knew an ambassador here a few years ago, and he mentioned that I would love to do a concert to the ambassador here. And that ambassador, I believe, got in touch with the Dvorak Society, and I'm really lucky. They're fantastic. I've gotten pretty free rein on programs, so I've gotten to sing some things that I generally don't get to sing. And it's a lovely place to premiere pieces.
What are you going to be performing this year?
I'm performing several different pieces. I'm doing a group of Edith Piaf songs, because everyone loves Edith Piaf songs, or you should. From Phantom of the Opera, just because everyone loves Phantom of the Opera. So it's been pretty popular here whenever I've done a piece from that. It depends on which concerts. The ones with piano, I'm doing a set of Handel music. I'm doing a set of music from The Music Man and Carousel, so old school musicals, a few other opera arias. Now, what's really interesting is the set that I'm doing with the orchestra. There's Hebrew music, some sung in Hebrew, some sung in Czech. There's some Dvorak songs, Vecherne Pisne and Dobru Noc. And there are also more Edith Piaf songs. And with the orchestra, they commissioned arrangements of the pieces. So these are different arrangements than anyone has ever heard before.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And yeah, they're beautiful.
As a layman, I'm curious, with someone with your experience, do nerves ever play a role?
As far as the singing, no, because vocally, I know what I'm doing. I'm pretty steady with that. As far as the pronouncing the Czech, it is. It is stressful for me because I don't want to sound ill-prepared. And I want to sound good. I want to do the songs justice. So I'm always a little nervous singing the Czech, but I have fun with it.
Does that mean that you have to work with somebody, with a Czech coach, to get the language right?
Well, I've worked with the people here. I've coached with them. I've coached with, so far, some guy on the bus, someone at the airport, someone on the subway. I just keep reading the Czech to different people, and they give me a funny look and help me with it.
Reading about your career, I was amazed how many different projects you're involved with. It's not just the singing, you also write. And you wrote something called Europe, the Savvy Girl's Guide. I wanted to ask you about that.
I wrote that in 2007. And I had been to Europe to sing several times, mostly in the Western countries. So largely in France, largely in Italy, and a bit in Belgium. And I realized that for a woman or a girl going to Europe for the first few times, there really isn't a book out there that tells you what to do, or even more importantly, what not to do. It doesn't tell you how to pack, how to communicate with people back at home above just email, about how to get a local SIM card, what to do if you're caught without a ticket on the subway, what to do if you miss your flight or your train. And pretty much I've been in all of these situations, so it's really just a record of the stupid things that I've done, but as a cautionary tale. And I'm working on the second edition of that now. I have two other books that I've written that my agent has pitched out and hopefully will be published soon. So I don't have any time, but I'm working on all of this.
And the cover illustration, I don't know if there's illustrations in the actual book, but the cover was done by yourself as well.
Yes, just a doodle. It's what happens if you don't have a real job. You have lots of time to do all these other things.
You also reworked it for the stage?
I did. It's a three-person musical. We've done it in Saskatoon and in Edmonton, so two Canadian cities. And hopefully we'll do it other places. It's hard to cast it, to find three people. I've always had to be in it because I would prefer to just direct it. I would love to do it again and find three people and rehearse it properly and do a mounting of it. It's just silly. It's a silly musical and it's fun.
All the different things that you're involved with. What about film? Because on your website, there's a clip of a job you had as an extra. Basically, what seems to be a fairly dark thriller. And the scene lasts maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 seconds.
Not very long. That was 2 days of filming for that 5 or 6 seconds. Good food. I'm in New York most of the year. And when I'm in New York, I do work as an extra quite often. I've been on quite a few commercials, too. I've sung on commercials for Microsoft, Office 2010, and all these things. You spend most of the day sitting around and stealing food from the food cart. So there's a lot of time to get your own work done. And you meet some crazy people.
I don't want to belittle it in any way. I've been an extra, and I know a little bit about what the experience is like.
It's pretty bad.
But it seems today, it seems impossible to think about that kind of job and not think of the Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant series, which has kind of changed the whole perspective or the whole view of extras forever.
It has, definitely.
And it seemed to me that your inclusion of it on your website also, that you were poking a bit of fun at yourself, that you're on screen for the whole 2 seconds.
Exactly. It's two glorious seconds. What's really sad is my friends back home the friends I went to high school with, they don't care about opera. They don't care about any of this other stuff. But if they see you've been on Law and Order in the background, that is the most, they're like, you've made it. I wish I were you. So that's one, and that's another reason I put it on, just because it's not important, but if they think it's that important, why not?
Now, your work takes you all around the world. You travel intensively, Europe, South America, Near East. When you do get home, what do you look forward to?
All right, so there's two homes, so we're going with Edmonton/Calgary and also New York. It's hard to live in New York. It's fun, but you always have roommates because life is expensive in New York. So you live with roommates, not always great roommates, and usually in the plural. So there's three or four people living in an apartment. Not a great area. They're never that clean. You don't have a car, so buying food is a pain. Going groceries is shopping or doing laundry involves just a lot of sweaty hauling through the city. But there's something about New York that no other place has. So usually I dread going back a little bit, and then I get off the plane and I think, finally I'm back. I'm never going to leave. I miss the fact that you can just go out in New York and you never know what's going to happen. And there's always something interesting that does happen, which I have also found here. And any European city I've often found, you can just go walking and adventures will happen.
I want to thank you very much and best of luck with your performances this year.
Thank you so much.